next time, bro.
Welcome to the Graceful Grizzly Podcast. My name is Mauricio, and with me, as always, is my amazing, very knowledgeable co-host, Tyler Woodcock.
Yes, yes, very smart.
Yes.
Mauricio!
I feel like knowledgeable people always have an English accent.
Oh, it's true.
Like,
it's
English true. Accent really defines if you're knowledgeable or
all
not.
The world's best minds. They talk like this, yes, yes.
Yes. Don't worry. Guys, we're not going to do the whole podcast in that voice, I promise. Guys, listen. All right. Rona is out there, but you know who else is out there?
Tell me, Mauricio.
Doji Natural Deodorant.
They still going, huh?
They're out there, man. They are killing it right now. They're selling their hand sanitizer is basically off the shelf. They've been selling out of it so much because people need it. They have drastically lowered the price as well. They're just doing really well, helping out everybody. And if, as you guys know, Doji is the official natural deodorant of the Graceful Grizzly Podcast.
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit about this?
Doji's wicked cool. We've been using them for several months now.
Yep.
The cool thing about Doji's products and their natural deodorant is that they have a really limited ingredient list, which is great for all of us out there that try and be a little bit more natural.
Yep.
They use just a really neat blend. It's ultra effective, pH balanced. It works with your natural chemistry to, you know, keep fresh all the time instead of just masking your odor like a lot of those other deodorants do.
Yeah, I'm glad it works with my natural chemistry because my natural chemistry is stank. All right. Listen, after I get out of the gym, the first thing I grab is the Doji. I'm like, get my Doji on right now. So I need it. I absolutely need it. Thank you, Doji, for working with my natural chemistry and just getting to the root cause of odor. Love you, Doji.
Yeah, and you have a really unique chemistry too. So, you know, it's kind of a miracle that they work with you.
Use the promo code Grizzly20. Use the promo code Grizzly20 at checkout and follow the link in our bio. You'll be able to get 20% off on all the products, including the hand sanitizer. Thank you so much, guys, for just supporting the mission that Doji is offering to the world. So, thank you. Get your Doji on.
Yes. And super huge thanks to our supporters over at Patreon. You guys are also helping support our mission as a podcast. And honestly, guys, we really need to give you an extra big thanks this week because we know that a lot of people are going through some tough times with, you know, a lot of change in the world. And we know that all of our patrons have continued to support us through this. And we just literally cannot thank you enough. So thank you guys for keeping us going.
Thanks, guys. Are out there. Man, we appreciate you guys sticking in, digging deep, and just hanging out with us, man.
Yeah.
Couple shout-outs, guys. We got our Instagram shout-outs we do every week. And one of the people that we want to shout out, last podcast, we had a heated debate.
Yeah, it got
controversial.
Pretty rough.
I know. We started cursing at each other. No, we didn't.
I haven't seen you in like a week because of that.
We've been upset at each other. Pineapple, get your texture out of here. I don't care. Several people have said this is the one thing I disagree with Mauricio on. Guys, bring it on. Bring on the hate. All right. That texture does not belong. Now, I did post something about mango. If you want to hit up mango, you know.
What?
Yeah.
You're okay with mango on pizza?
Maybe.
Pineapple?
I'm going to experiment. Anyway. Yikes. So, listen, guys. There's a band out there on Instagram called Pineapple Pizza. And they have hit us up and said they do shows in Pittsburgh. Guys, Pineapple Pizza, band from Pittsburgh. It's like one of those.
Alliteration?
Yeah, tongue twisters, alliterations. It's out there, man. Pineapple Pizza Band, shout out to you guys. Thanks for commenting on our stuff. We appreciate you. And you're the reason why we might try pineapple pizza eventually.
Yeah, like I said, I'm an acceptor.
Yes, so. You love.
I said I accept.
Okay. Another quick shout out. He's a longtime listener, good friend, Ben Weary. Shout out to Ben. You're amazing. We love you. If you want to jump on his page, it's Benjamin_Weary. Hopefully you get some followers from this. He loves vinyl. He loves black coffee. And he loves, what's that band, Tyler? Oh my gosh. Paper Kites.
Ben has good taste in music. I've talked to him so many times about music, and we're always almost exactly on the same page.
Yes.
So, shout out to Ben. He's a good friend, and yeah, truly good person.
All right, Ben, we love you. Thank you so much for listening. And with that, Tyler's going to bring us into
the nightly news.
Nightly news.
You guys already know how this goes. So let's jump into our first story.
Man. And you promised, Tyler, that not all these are coronavirus related, or some are.
I promise that some of these may or may not be related to topics such as coronavirus.
All right. Just a disclaimer, guys. Hit us up.
That is my pledge to you.
All right.
That being said, the first story is about a new opportunity that we all have as we are using these video conferencing softwares.
Right, right.
If you just feel like you need a little dose of nature in your life, you can actually hire a goat to come be on your video conference. My question for you,
what do you
Mauricio,
mean, hire a goat?
You can hire a goat. Yes.
All right.
Dude, I'm telling you. So have you been using Zoom?
Yeah, WebEx, Zoom. We've been using all of them. I think that it does get a little bit like, all right, I'm just looking at a screen. So you're saying for a small fee, I'm able to bring a goat onto my Zoom meeting. If I'm having a Zoom meeting with the CEO of the company and I say, Mr. CEO, you're the goat. And then I bring an actual goat to illustrate how much I think he's the goat.
That's an instant raise right there.
That's what I'm saying. I would get an instant promotion if that happened.
Yeah, man. Yes.
All right.
This farm is called Sweet Farm.
Oh, okay.
And it's an animal sanctuary. So they have all these animals, right? And they treat them, you know, supposedly really well.
Yes.
And they just are kind of advocates for treating animals in the correct way, which we love, obviously.
We love that, yes.
We love animals. So they decided to do this cool thing since they can't really do tours right now and they can't have people come visit the farm in person given our current circumstances.
Right.
So they are actually hiring out their animals to join you on a video call. I think that would be probably one of the coolest experiences if I was in a staff meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a chicken.
Yes.
You know, just joining
hanging
us.
Out. Yeah.
Going over the statistics for the week. You know, talking about
marketing. The
chicken
would be like, listen, our third quarter is not good. And I'm like, wait.
It's just not in the numbers, guys.
I'm like, chicken, relax. What are you over there telling us that we're in the black for this month? Like, what? Come on, you know? But yeah, man, shout out to this farm that is trying to survive right now by selling their, or, you know, renting out their animals. I think it's always cool. My big thing would be that I would want to just like have the animal on screen and not me for a while. Like I would walk away from the screen and just leave the chicken to talk about the quarterly reports. So
what if you turned off your webcam to go, you know, quote unquote, you know, use the bathroom or get a drink.
Yes.
And then when you came back, you were actually a goat.
Oof.
I think that's the way to do it.
I think you tell your boss, listen, I'm able to become an animal. The other thing is if you come back and the goat has also stolen your position and you are no longer hired at the company and he got a raise somehow, I think that would be offensive.
Yikes.
I'd be like, what the heck? Why is this goat sending you PDFs? Get out of here.
Hey, goat, can you make that logo a little bigger?
Okay, so
man. Yeah, crazy times. A lot of people are using video conferencing stuff, and I know we have been for work quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just an interesting world we live in. It's kind of
neat,
and though.
It's also tough. You don't really know all the settings. You don't really know all the things, and I'm sure people would get in trouble.
Yeah, that's the truth, man. And actually, that leads us perfectly into our next story.
Oof.
So a lot of these video conferencing things, you know, they got their little effects, right?
Yes,
I know
yes.
If you're on Zoom, you can kind of like change the background.
Yes, I've done that.
Okay.
Several times.
Yeah. I think I did it the other week on one of our calls and I made it look like I was at, you know, chilling by the pool at my mansion.
Nice.
You know, just
trying
to impress the staff.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So anyways, we heard a really hilarious story about a woman who accidentally turned herself into a potato.
Oh.
And she couldn't figure out how to turn it off. So she was stuck as a potato on her video call.
I think it's
her work.
Yeah. I think at that point you're like, well, let's just not do this anymore. Like end the call. You know, she's, you know, she's wow. I can't even look at the picture. Jeez.
It's the weirdest looking potato.
And you've got to go through the whole meeting, Tyler. You can't just stop. Like, you can't just be like, all right, guys, we're done. Like, you have to go through the entire meeting and That's what it is.
My question is, how do you recover from that? You know, how do you, hey guys, I'm here.
I don't know.
Why do you look like a potato? Like, what do we do? You know,
ignore the potato face. Let's continue with the quarterly notes. Yeah, that's rough. And I guess she had to do the whole meeting and, yeah, she's a potato, man. I don't like the face either. The face for people that are listening, we'll post this picture later, but it is weird. It is like a thumb with a face on it.
It's very weird.
It is just...
If you know Pokemon, it kind of looks like a Diglett.
It does look like a Diglett. Oh my gosh, 100%. You nailed it, dude.
Like she would just pop up out of the ground and...
Diglett dig.
My favorite quote is that she says, "I was so confused as to why I was a potato."
You did that. You chose the potato life. The potato life didn't choose you. So shout out to potatoes for invading Zoom. Yeah. There was another thing that I saw that it was a priest that he was giving his like benediction or whatever it is that they do. And he actually had the robot helmet on and he looked like a robot the entire sermon. And that was hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. So things can go wrong, man. Things go awry.
Yeah, these are weird problems that I don't think anybody thought we'd be facing, you know, in society.
Yep.
But hey, listen, we're getting through it. Thanks to Zoom, GoToMeeting, you guys are carrying us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get out of the house a little bit
mm-hmm.
and not keep looking at your screen
for, yes.
you know, hours and hours, right? We could go for a
walk. Actually see the trees, which I did the other day. I mean, we did. We kind of hung out.
Yeah, we kinda,
we broke the law, dude.
Yeah, we kind of broke the law and like went outside and enjoyed. Looked at the trees.
Dude, there's so many bees outside now.
Yeah.
Springtime is just nuts.
My favorite is that meme that's like the mosquitoes looking around like the mosquitoes finally came out. Like, where is everybody?
Where are you guys at? Yeah. So if I want to go outside.
If you want to go outside, yeah. There's some communities around the country that are doing this really cool thing. And people are confused as to why they are seeing teddy bears in the window of people's houses, right?
Mm,
it's like, what is this, a new trend? Well, it's actually kind of like a cool little like hunting, you know, hide and seek kind of game for mm-hmm. kids.
Cool.
So what parents can do is bring their kids outside, take a walk around the neighborhood, and people who choose to participate will put a teddy bear in their front window, right? So that gives kids something to kind of like look for and point out. And so it gives them something to do during mm-hmm. this, you know, time where we're kind of looking for new things to do, right?
Yeah. Hashtag going on a bear hunt is what you want to type in on Instagram. And you would be able to see all the people that have found bears. Some have actually found real bears. No, I'm just kidding. That would be terrible. Definitely. I mean, I think my little girls, they, you know, Avery, at least she's two. I think she wants to run around and be a, you know, little two-year-old. And I think it's tough because they're cooped in inside and we can't really go outside. It's like takes so much, you know, so I've taken her out a bunch and just walked around. I'm sure that if she found a teddy bear, she would freak out because she already freaks out when she sees the bunnies hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
The bunnies are everywhere at this point. They're like, where's all the people? There are several animals as well that are starting to take over.
Like
now that people aren't around, they're just like, all right, like there's dolphins in Venice right now.
No way.
Yeah, like because you know how they do like the gondolas and so they're always going through that waterway. So now because there's no people on the waterway, the dolphins have come back and they're like invading like the waterway. And like all these animals are starting, like the birds are coming back and they're like, oh well, we'll just live.
They're getting a little overconfident.
I'm telling you, we gotta get in there before they take our jobs.
We got to get back on those gondolas.
That's what I'm saying. All you gondola.
Hashtag bring back the gondolas.
Please, guys, make that hashtag viral. So, man, this is an awesome thing. I think we need to do more things like this for kids out there that need some kind of entertainment because, you know, in all ages, I mean, parents that are dealing with teens right now, you're quarantined. And it is rough. It is rough. So,
what you did.
I know. I why did you see what I did? That's the worst part. So, man, awesome thing for the teddy bears to be roaming free and for all these kids to find them. I think that's awesome. So,
you know, I think what is that saying that necessity breeds creativity?
Necessity is the, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how that goes, I think. Yeah. No, it's true. Like, when you really need something, you're going to figure something out. So.
And if there's one thing I know about parents with little kids,
yes.
They really need ways to keep them busy.
Oh, yeah.
And this 100%. Is totally one of those times. That's pretty cool, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, yeah. So, like we said, there may or may not be one or two news stories that are not related to coronavirus, but this one's, it's kind of adjacent to coronavirus.
It's in the vicinity of.
I will at least say that the news stories are all related almost pretty much 100% of the time.
Wait, you just changed your statement from the previous.
But. What? This one's cool. I think it's a neat kind of social eye-opening. So Facebook has come out with a quiet mode.
Okay.
For their app. Mm-hmm. So that people can kind of take a break from social media if they maybe find themselves on it too much.
Yes.
So I don't know. What do you think of that, Mauricio?
I think I'm definitely on it. I think that I completely ignore my screen time when my iPhone goes, hey, you've been on this for, I don't know if the older iPhones have it, but the newer iPhones are like, hey, this is how much time you spent on.
Yeah.
And it's rough. I definitely tend to be on my phone a lot just because I'm always doing social media stuff, but I do need a break. So it's nice that Facebook is literally saying, we're pretty addicting.
Yeah.
Get off of Facebook right now with this quiet mode. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I respect the move because I think it shows that they're, interested in more than just, selling their product, essentially.
Yes.
I think it shows that they're trying to do a little social good and give people the option to, take a step back if they need to.
Yeah. I feel like we all have to find that break away from staring at I remember back in the day, people used to call the TV the idiot box because you just sit there and stare at it. Like older generations would call it that. It'd be like, all you want to do is sit in front of that box and... really now, if you want to take that terminology, I'm staring at this small screen for hours. I'm just flipping through, just looking through, checking out stuff. And I think that it's tough right now. Like I definitely need a break sometimes. And, this is cool, man, that they're actually giving you a way out. Because I think the other thing too is like, even if you think about Netflix, how long does Netflix give you until you have to, stop the next episode from playing? It's like 3 seconds or less or 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. They just usher you right into the next
episode. Yeah, they're like, next episode is starting in 3, 2, next episode of The Office.
They give you a little preview. They give you the little description of the next episode to show you, here's what you could experience.
So definitely this is cool that Facebook is, telling us, no, stay away.
Yeah, they talked a little bit about how there's been some studies that show that social media can actually trigger, in a lot of instances, people to worsen their depression or anxiety.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think it makes sense. We talked about it a little bit last episode.
Yeah, social media addiction is huge, and people do get triggered by, especially if they're addicted to the likes, the engagement, and I think right now we're very susceptible to that because people are now needing interaction more than ever. And I feel like the only way they get it sometimes is through social media, is through posting a picture, and, hoping that somebody comments on it. So it's tough. It's a tough thing. Like, I want people to, find community in other places, especially now, but right now this is all we have. Just be mindful, all you listeners, that if you are spending way too much time on social media, jump on that quiet mode, take a time to breathe, relax, stay away from your phone, put it in a lockbox. There's like a little case that you can buy. It's like a little safe, and you put it in there, and like you give the code to like your wife or somebody, and the phone stays in a little glass box for like 2 hours or whatever.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then after 2 hours, you're able to like put the code in and like, whatever. That's so like, so cool. There's ways to do it. I just think that it really is a part of us now. Like the phone is like infinite knowledge at your hand. And I use it to watch cat videos.
Who doesn't?
I know.
Oh. Yeah. And I think it's just about knowing yourself, being aware. That, take note of how you're feeling after a long session of scrolling through social media.
Yes.
Are you feeling refreshed and uplifted? Are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling anxious? You know, and just, yeah, I think they were saying that, like, these tools, these social media tools all started as ways to really connect with people.
Right.
You know, and remember that that is a good thing, mm-hmm. but also that, you know, any tool can be used the wrong way. So just be aware.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. So quiet mode, guys. Get on it.
Get on it.
Get on it.
Dude, that brings us to our quick questions.
Quick questions. I'm excited.
Are you ready for the quickest of questions?
Hit me.
All right. Question number one.
Do it.
Is a chicken nugget just a meatball?
How dare you bring that question into this realm?
Next question.
No, you can't do it that quick. This question deserves the utmost respect, but it is something that you are... Every question has been controversial.
Dude, I have to say, I've never thought about this.
I mean, if you think about it, okay, you get a bunch of chicken. You kind of grind it up. You batter it. You fry it.
Sounds like a meatball.
Sounds like a meatball, man. I don't know.
All right, Mauricio.
Chicken ball, maybe?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It gets tricky because you can make chicken meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference? And like, where do we draw the line?
Where do we draw the line in nuggeting? What can you nugget and what can't you nugget? You can nugget chicken.
Can you nugget beef product?
I've never tried it, but maybe. I feel like the closest you get is like a steak, like a country fried steak.
Right.
That is one giant steak nugget. If you, I just think of all the Baby Yoda memes where he's like, "I want my nuggies."
Graceful Grizzly steak nuggets. That's what we gotta come up with.
Graceful Grizzly steak nuggets. Tastes like country.
It's one big steak nugget.
So, is a chicken nugget just a meatball? I feel like. I would say it's poultry, not meat. But then, I mean, I guess all meat is, man, this is hard, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to put this question up on Instagram. We're going to see what you guys think. But honestly, I think that a chicken nugget is such a good, holy thing. I don't want to just call it a meatball. I think, you know, it's so good, especially the Chick-fil-A ones. And the McDonald's ones have a special... part in my heart, you know, because they're do you remember back in the day the chicken nugget was like, if you bit into it, I'm talking about like when we were growing up, like it was gray in the middle.
I remember
it was not white.
They used to use, dude, they must have like got some flack and then changed their ways, because they definitely used to use a different quality of meat, no doubt in my mind.
That chicken nugget was not 100% grade A. It was definitely a lot of beak in there. a lot of thigh. A lot of gizzard.
And even as a kid, I knew something wasn't right.
But you bite into it, it's like a beak, and you're like, wait a minute. This is weird. Squawk, yeah. I don't want my nuggets squatting at me. Squawking. Yeah, no, I think, yeah. Is a chicken nugget a meatball? No, because I don't want my nugget to be put in that category.
I think I'm going to fall out on the same side as you. I think I'm going to say it's not a meatball. But man, that's a...
Because a ball is a spear. So technically,
right.
A nugget is more of a...
Oh, no, though.
A cube?
See,
a prism?
That's true. It's true. It's not a sphere. But what if you were to make a chicken nugget that was a sphere? Is that now a meatball?
No, definitely a chicken ball. I call it a chicken ball. I feel like there's... I feel like there are chicken balls. If you go to Chinese restaurants, there is a chicken ball. Like, I've seen it in, like, buffets, you know, those buffets that you go in.
Oh, yeah.
And you feel terrible after you're leaving because it's just so much food. Yeah. I always try to get my money's worth with the buffets, too.
Yeah, me too. Try everything as much as you can, like, as many different things.
I always start with sushi. I'm weird like that.
No, it's not. That's not weird. That's not too bad.
A little appetizer. All right.
So, we're falling out on the side of no. Chicken nugget is not a meatball. Nice try, universe. You almost got us.
Nice try. Oh, that's good.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of animals, the next quick question is a big one. And I want to know from you, Mauricio, what animal would you want to have in a fight with you?
Tiger.
Oh, I thought you'd say bear.
Oh, dude. No, I think a bear is great. I think a bear is great. I just don't think a bear, I mean, they're good for fighting and all that. I just don't think a bear is like as ferocious for some reason as a tiger, but then at the same time, bear's up there. I think I would use a bear too.
Yeah, I
Are you leaning towards
I'm
bear?
I'm leaning towards bear.
Ah,
I
mean,
okay. You're going to say I'm biased because the podcast.
The podcast, yeah.
All right, guys, I get it. Maybe I'm biased.
Grizzly.
But listen, yeah. I mean, anytime you talk to somebody and they make up some ridiculous story, it's always about how they won some fight with a bear. It's because everybody knows a bear is a formidable opponent.
All right, dude.
Right?
I'm going to concede my love for Tiger King and my love for, you know, I guess we're going to go bear on this one. Yeah, you could use a bear, definitely. I think if you've got the option, I would pick either of those. I wouldn't pick a peacock. I wouldn't pick something, you know, some. Hey, by the way, we posted that thing about peacock and rooster, and peacock surprisingly won.
In a fight.
In a fight, yeah. People are saying the peacock would win against a rooster.
Win against a rooster?
Yes, in a fight.
And the rooster would lose to a peacock?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, so for everybody that heard our last podcast, we were in a heated debate, and you guys have spoken, peacock wins every time. We thought the peacock was too pretty to fight, but apparently his size and tenacity... unrivaled.
I think our listeners are smarter than us because they they always seem to surprise us with good answers.
Yep. So
keep it up, guys.
Yeah. So definitely some kind of apex predator I would want. I definitely wouldn't, you know, and I could go, you know, like a dog. I can go pit bull. I can go wolf maybe.
Yeah.
Those are definitely, but yeah, bear is probably the most intimidating, like a 9-foot Kodiak grizzly thing coming out of you. Yeah. That's
now,
pretty.
Now, my question is, could we get creative and say like a skunk? And then you just spray them and they'd run away?
Yeah, if you want non-lethal.
Non-lethal.
If you want to go non-lethal animal that you have with you, skunk, porcupine.
That's the peacekeeper's way of winning that fight.
Yeah,
right?
If you say, listen, I don't want to kill you.
I just want to make you smell bad.
For like a lot. Like I remember driving up in like the mountains like to get to back home, like because we used to live in a different part of Pennsylvania that was like up Peters Mountain. And every time I drive by, it would smell. And I'd be like, what is that smell? And I realized I could smell skunk from like 2 miles away from where the skunk was. And I'm like, bro, these guys have some territorial distance, man. They're just like, they got some smells that like they need doji. They need doji.
Like, that's the truth. It would work with their natural chemistry too to get rid of the smell. And that would be impressive.
Dude.
But okay, yeah. So what? They don't have skunks in Miami then?
No, man. They really? No skunks. I've never seen a skunk. Lots of possums though.
Okay.
Lots like, yeah, like everyone says the national animal is like, you know, the gator or whatever. Listen, possums because they're everywhere, dude. And they just and then the worst are the ones with the babies. And then like all their babies are on their back and they're just like, you know, it's gross.
Jeez, I never knew possums were so aggressive.
Oh, they're prevalent. They're prevalent. They're that low ground animal that just go at your ankles, you know. They're definitely, and they play possum, you know, they die. Yeah.
They take you out from
maybe
the,
a possum.
The
maybe a possum would be a good animal to have with me in a fight.
When we think of that, yeah, that's the perfect animal.
Oh gosh.
No one would see it coming.
I hope these questions don't get weirder.
Well, you are in luck. Because our next question is wild.
Okay, go.
All right. This is another would you rather, okay? You have two options. I'm going to present the two options to you, Mauricio, and I want to hear your answer, which one you would choose, okay? So here we go. Would you rather have teeth for hair or hair for teeth?
These questions are gross. teeth for hair or hair for teeth? Gosh.
Well, let's just imagine what that
I'm
going to
say
like.
Hair for teeth, smoothies all day. Final answer.
Hair for teeth, smoothies all day.
Because I can't chew anything. Can't chew anything.
That hair would get so matted, though. Oh,
it's like you have those. Have you seen those whales like that go up and then their teeth are just like those little like what's this called? Like they eat krill, so they have to have this.
Are they just like little tentacles?
Yeah, like little like I don't know what it looks like. It's gross, but yeah, I'm gonna say. Because teeth for hair, dude, that's like you'd have to wear a hat all day.
Well, let's think of it this way, I think. Teeth for hair is a cosmetic issue,
mm-hmm.
whereas hair for teeth is a functional issue.
Dang. You just broke it. All right. So now you're saying you're leaning more towards teeth for hair.
I'm kind of leaning towards teeth for hair.
Because you can file down your teeth and what have it, and wear a hat.
Yeah, or like file them into like pointy teeth and like look like Darth Maul. And like paint my head black.
But are you talking about several teeth on your head? Like several teeth? Like long locks of teeth?
What would this look like? I don't know. I mean,
because Darth Maul is like, you got three teeth. Like you have meth head, like meth head teeth. Like you have a meth mouth, but on the top of your head.
Now the question, it begs the question, would you have to brush your head with a toothbrush?
Tyler, stop.
Could I use my electric toothbrush? Madness.
Though? I can't.
And all then right. Would you use shampoo in your mouth?
Would you floss your head? Oh, this podcast is getting gross. All right. I'm sincerely sorry. Just going to say I'm so conceited. I'm going to negate my answer. No smoothies for me because I want to be able to eat. We're going to go teeth for hair. And we're going to buy a giant file. And we're just going to file those suckers down like a rhino horn.
Cool.
And wear a hat. So teeth for hair, final answer.
All right. I like it. I'm with you. We'll go forward with that one.
Gosh. Gross.
Oh, man. All right. Let's do something less gross this time.
All right.
Okay. So what's something that you see in the world around you that holds people back from their true potential?
I think fear really does paralyze people. Mm. You know, if you really think about it, you know, there's a lot of phobias out there. There's a bunch of phobias from like way different. Like, I'm not talking about that, you know, because like obviously if you're scared of spiders, you're not going to start a spider farm. You know, that just makes sense. But I think that fear in the sense of like rejection, you know, like,
sure,
if you attempt something, are people going to enjoy it? Are people going to like it? Are people going to want to be involved in it? I see a lot of that with, you know, just a general populace of like, well, I want to start a business, but I don't know how, or I want to do this, but I don't really, you know. And so I feel like every single time people want to do anything, there is that factor of, okay, I'm a little bit scared, but I need to do it. And what people don't understand is that when you take that first step, the second step is even easier. And the third and the fourth and the fifth, and then you're just walking. You know, and so it's tough to like, you know, really pinpoint something. But if I had to, it'd probably be fear of, you know, failure. That will paralyze anybody.
Yeah.
Because of trauma or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely fear of failure.
That's got to be one of the biggest fears.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right, it totally holds people back.
Yeah.
I mean, the one I thought of is actually pretty related. It's mm-hmm. a fear in a sense, but I would maybe call it more like an unwillingness to ask for help.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to call that, you know, maybe pride or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But just the unwillingness that some people have, like thinking that maybe they would be weak if they were to reach out for help or and even just ask questions or admit that they were wrong with something. You know, sometimes there are pride, and I'm speaking for myself too, you know, my own pride holds me back from just being able to like mm-hmm. truly, you know, admit that I'm wrong or reach out for help. So I think a lot of people, and this is kind of, you know, ingrained in the mission of our podcast too, a lot of people would be you know, happier if they were able to jump that hurdle.
Yes.
And just kind of like reach out when they need something.
Mm-hmm. yeah so definitely, I think those two are intertwined. You know, you don't want to fail, but you also don't want to look dumb in front of people. And so that's the reason why you don't ask for help, because you feel like if I ask for help, I'm vulnerable. What if I fail and I ask for their help? And now, you know, I feel like I wasted their time. I wasted my time. Some of my biggest things, you know, like if you look at my Enneagram, which I'm a three, a big thing is like wasting time. Like I hate wasting my time on projects that nobody cares about or that somebody thought was really important and I knew it wasn't, and then it ends up not being as important.
Mm.
Like, it's just like, oh, we wasted all this time when we could have been, because I like doing things.
Yeah.
So definitely, like, you know, it's hard when you don't realize that you waste more time by not asking for help.
Yeah.
You know, like you're going to spin your wheels for a long time trying to figure out, okay, how do I do this or how do I do that? You know, okay, let's just do it myself. And then, you know, because there's no benefit to doing something yourself as opposed to doing something with other people, really. Because if you're trying to accomplish the same goal, like what's the thing they say? If you want to go far, you know, or if you want to go fast, you go by yourself. If you want to go far, you go with other people.
Oh, yeah, like
you know, like go with your friends, go with your community, figure something out. Doesn't mean you have to bring everybody on board, but just, you know, tell people about your plans, figure it out. Don't tell the wrong people about your plans because they're going to be like, you're the worst. You know, you can't do this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So definitely, I mean, overcome the fear of feeling like, you know, you're alone and that you can't do it. You definitely can. And you probably have already been doing it part time, you know, and dreaming about it. Just do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And some people, you know, I do think that those two things are very intertwined, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're worried about fear of failing. Mm-hmm. You're worried about asking for help.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some people would consider asking for help like a form of failure because they couldn't figure it out on their own.
There's so many people like that.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that's kind of sad because at the end of the day, all the best minds and the best people in the world mm-hmm. have needed other people to get where they are.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's why, and that's why I love football. You know, I think other sports are more catered towards the ringer. You know, the one person that can just. And I think hockey's like that too. Hockey's very much a team sport. Like you can't win if, you know, you don't have the right people with you. I like football because it's, you know, if your defense is terrible but your offense is great, doesn't matter. You're gonna lose that game. You know, eventually. And I think that's the great thing about the fact that our podcast is so animate about community. I want community. I want, you know, to be involved with my friends, with my family. And like, that's just part of our vision for the podcast is to have people jump in and, hey, I think you should do this, or I think you should do that. And, you know, not have that fear of like, oh, you know, I don't want to start a conversation, or even say anything because, you know, and so, yeah that's huge.
Like this podcast is just one example of where
mm-hmm.
we could go so much further if we have a community of people helping us.
Yes.
And we're asking for help. If we have questions about how to, you know, do something on our Instagram, we're going to ask someone that's an expert. And
Mauricio
is an expert, so he doesn't need help.
No, there are guys on there that I talk to. I say, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, talk to my buddy Trent about starting a merch store, you know, for t-shirts and stuff. So like, definitely like reach out to your friends, reach out to your family, jump on there, you know?
Yeah. Don't be afraid.
Yep.
Wow. We got all the way through our quick questions. We're at Righteous Reviews.
Well, they were quick, Tyler.
They were super quick this week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were good.
Hair for teeth. Just think about that.
Anyway. Disgusting.
I think my disgust is what's one of the funniest things to people. I'm like, why are you so grossed out by that? Like, it's just gross.
It's disgusting. Oh, man. Righteous Review. So the review we want to do this week is what will you review for us, your favorite musical instrument, and why is it your favorite instrument? There's a lot to choose from, so I'm excited to hear what you had to say.
Electric triangle for the win.
That was exactly what I was going to say.
Dang it. We can't pick the same thing. No, it's not electric triangle. I don't even think that those exist. I don't think they do.
There's gotta be a way.
No, cause you're holding it and you would get shocked.
Is that how electricity works?
You're holding a metal thing. There's no way to amplify
you're
that.
You're right. It's impossible.
Unless you have, I don't know, whatever. I'm not going to think of the science behind an electric triangle. He's shredding on that electric triangle. No, I think, well, for me, it's bass. I love bass. I play bass. Love the sound of it. Always loved the deeper tones. Always loved how good a good bass player sounds. And I like that he's part of the rhythm section as opposed to, you know, the more, what's the word? Starts with an M. Melodic.
Melodic?
Melodic, yes.
Sure.
Yeah, so I like that it's on a different, it's more of a, you know, percussion instrument. It goes with the drums. You know, and somebody told me bass is like underwear. Like, you don't want to know that you have it on, but you know that you have it on. You know, like, you know that it's there. You just don't want it to be standing out and like, being...
Like, you would notice if it was gone.
Yes.
But, like, you don't want to think about it all the time.
Thank you.
Got
That's
you.
What I mean.
Got you.
Yes.
That's the truth, man. And honestly, playing in bands and stuff, there is such a huge benefit to having a good bass player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it is. Listen, there's that typical, you know, the lead singer or the lead guitarist shredding solos, and that kind of gets all the fame. And then we talk about the bass player, and it's kind of like a meme. But like, truly, truly, you need to have a good bass player. It makes all the difference. So I mean, I'm with you.
I go to a bass player support group because we just don't get enough.
You don't get attention. The credit you deserve.
We cry in a circle. Obviously, in lower tones, like ooh, ooh, ooh.
We're so sad.
No, but you're right. But what's your instrument, Tyler? Because I know you play like many.
Not that many.
Oh,
one.
Okay.
More like one.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. So yeah, I picked the one that I play. I play the guitar. So I picked the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing I love about the guitar, though. I think the guitar is one of the more versatile instruments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So. I love that you could play an electric guitar and be in a rock band,
mm-hmm.
play metal, whatever. And then you can also like play classical guitar and just make something really beautiful that goes with more of like a, you know, classical type music.
Yeah.
I just think it's so versatile. And I think that's one of the things I like about it.
Yeah.
Is that it can just be used. And honestly, bass is the same way.
Yeah.
Where it's used in many
different
times.
I think guitar is a little more versatile in the sense of like, you can't really carry a bass around. Like I had a friend that had an acoustic bass.
Oh yeah.
And he was one of the best bass players ever. But guitar is definitely more like you can take it anywhere. And it's always the guy with the guitar. Here's the thing. I don't like when somebody brings a guitar that doesn't know how to play guitar. And they're just like, I'm the guy with the guitar. And I'm like, dude,
here's the problem though. Okay. The person that brings the guitar plays is, it just always ends up being the person who doesn't know how to play the guitar.
So like if you come in and you know how to play guitar, so it's like, okay, this is different.
But
if you come in and you don't know how to play guitar, dude, keep that guitar at home. The other thing is the ukulele. Listen, I love it. I love the ukulele.
Yeah,
I think that it's cool. That's something that you can take to a party and, you know, whatever. But after a while, yes, that sound is just like, all right, let's go do something else.
Yeah, yeah. There are certain instruments like that. You know, it's mm-hmm. like you, maybe they...
Harmonica.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't casually play the harmonica for more than an hour.
Without like getting like, you know, having the blues and like
crying
sad.
In a circle. Yeah, there's some sad. I feel like there's some instruments that are just sad. They're just like, oh.
Harmonica's one of them.
Yeah, there's like, oh, that's a sad one. All right.
Oh, I'm sad.
He's in prison, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Yeah. You know what? Music is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Musical instruments are amazing.
Yeah. I like them all. Definitely, there's some that I would like to kind of know more about. Flute players are cool. I think, like, how the heck do you play a flute? Like, I feel like you have to have lungs of steel. Jazz players. I mean, you've got what's the one thing? Oh my gosh, not the trombone, but it's saxophone.
Saxophone.
Yeah, I'm like, bro.
That's an impressive instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a lot of all those horns, wind instruments and horn and brass instruments are pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Cuz they really are physically taxing.
Yeah, from what I hear. The tuba player is always like the biggest guy in the band cuz he's like built, you know, he's like
he's got to have like lungs like that could just like buck the gallons of air in at one time, you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
I think the one instrument, if I had to pick an instrument I wish I could play,
mm-hmm.
like really play, is it would be a drum set.
Really?
I would love to be able to play drums.
Me too, man. I air drum so hard all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like I would definitely want to learn the drums. I play that box a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen you play the box drum though.
I've got rhythm.
You've got rhythm.
That's inherent rhythm. Not really rhythm that I want to, like, you know, I probably could learn the drums, but I don't want to, like, I feel like the drums is just like too much. My brain is good at multitasking, but not that kind of multitasking for some reason. I don't know why.
That's the challenge with it.
Because like your foot's doing one thing, your other foot's doing the other. You're trying to get in that rhythm. It's just like a lot, man. Like
it is.
A drummer brain, I feel like, is different than most brains. Like they're just got different patterns and wrinkles.
Yes,
with
exactly.
Muscle memory and all that stuff.
If you are listening and you're a drummer, shout us out on, you know, send us a message. We want to hear from you because how the heck do you do it?
Who knows?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just too many things to think about.
Oh, well, that's more jazz. But still.
But still, jazz drummers.
Yeah.
They got it going on.
They got it. Yeah. So, man, shout out to all the oboe, violin.
Yeah.
Tubas,
vocalists.
Yeah, you play the what's the word they always
call
it?
Instrument.
The throat instrument. Yes, the voice.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow, man. We're at our deeper dive.
Already?
Yeah, you ready to discuss some deep topics?
Yes.
Okay, me too.
I got it.
So the deep topic is, and it's kind of been a theme of this episode.
Okay.
The whole remote thing, right?
How do we survive?
How do we survive a remote world, specifically working from home, right? Mm. A lot of us are, you know, we're not going into our office right now. We're at our house. We're working from home.
Yeah.
And, you know, modern technology makes it all possible. It's great. You got the internet. We got Zoom. We got GoToMeeting, whatever we're using. But the question is that a lot of people are struggling with is, how do you work from home and like maintain your sanity?
Well, so we have to preface this. We are very blessed that we are still working from home. Some people are not working. So we just want to like make sure you guys, like if you're listening, you're not working, man, we love you. We appreciate you. Things will get better. You know, me and Tyler get to work from home just because, you know, that's one of the benefits of having the jobs we do. But if you're not working right now, man, we appreciate you nonetheless. Working from home for us has been, well, for me specifically, it's been a challenge. I definitely am an extrovert, definitely need to see people, need to be around people, get my energy from people, problem solving in real time with people, not just waiting on an email. You know, and I talk to a lot of people on the phone, like sponsors and people that help us. You know, so I'm always like kind of the sales guy and trying to do, you know, multiple things at once. So it's been tough not having that constant phone ringing or having to solve a problem or having a coworker, you know, say, hey, how are you? You know, talk football, talk shop. It's been tough not having that human interaction. So for me, I think surviving has just been really a push to adapt, and kind of be a little flexible when it comes to my schedule, when it comes to, okay, I can do this, I can do that. So it's been tough. This is also my first experience working from home. So I don't know what working from home is, because I've always worked in kitchens. You can't really work in a kitchen from home, you know, unless you're like selling stuff, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then when I got, you know, a nice office job, you know, when I left the restaurant industry and started getting into office jobs and sales and all that, I think that this is my first experience really working, you know, being around my family 24/7. And I love them so much. And I think that this has been a blessing. But at the same time, I'm still adjusting to it because it's like, whoa, this is different. And I know you've worked from home before. So do you have any tips on how to survive this? Because I'm listening, Tyler. I'm listening.
Hey, well, we're all figuring it out together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of being able to work from home here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was doing a lot of freelance work, that would often be a good chunk of some of my evenings, you know, was working and mm-hmm. kind of navigating life. You know, you still have your family, you still have other responsibilities, but you also got to fit in your workday, right?
Right.
So that's, I think the biggest, like the number one thing that comes to mind for me
mm-hmm.
and the thing that I've read and heard and from research and people, you know, giving advice is to set up some boundaries.
Right, right.
And I think that that's twofold. Mm-hmm. You need to have boundaries with your time,
mm-hmm.
which means like when it's 5 o'clock, I'm done with work. I'm putting the laptop down and I'm not going to keep working, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever your time is. Maybe it's 5:30. Maybe you work a little bit longer of a day. That's fine. You just got to set a time that you can say, I'm done, and then step away and be with your family and give them, you know, the attention that they deserve. So that's
right.
Boundaries with time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other boundary is space. So you need to, and I know like for me, it's hard. We have a 1-bedroom apartment. We don't have a whole lot of extra space where I can go be mm-hmm. alone. But I think as much as you can, it's important to have a space that you work in
mm-hmm.
that's maybe separate from the space where you relax.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's important too. I do find myself like, okay, I'm at work and we have a workstation, we have a desk, and we're able to set up, you know, I set up shop there, get my coffee in the morning. My wife's amazing. She makes my coffee, you know, and has it ready. And I think that that's like, even that little thing, that little moment of like having coffee, I think that that kind of gets me in the mood to, okay, I got to get up, I got to do this. You know, and I think that part of it is like mentally getting ready to sit in your space for however long you're going to sit in your space and stretch out and work a little bit. So no, I totally see how having your own designated workspace where that's kind of like your office, your cubicle. Okay, this is where I'm going to be. So I see that.
Yeah. And so like for you, Mauricio, like when you're getting up, you're getting ready to get into work mode.
Yes.
Like how do you, I'm curious, make that transition from I'm in my bed and I'm relaxing and I'm at home to I'm up out of bed and I'm like essentially going to work, even if it's in the same room or a room, one room over. How do you make that transition?
Yeah. So I'll wake up. I'll like, okay, I got to get up. You know, I think it's been tough for me because when I was working, I'd wake up at 5:30, go to the gym.
Yikes.
I know. You know, because I love being a morning person. But now we've been in this quarantine for so long, I don't know who I am. I've been sleeping till 8, dude. I don't know what to do.
Whoa, sleeping in.
I know, bro. It doesn't feel weird. It's just like, But I will wake up, you know, I'll obviously go to the bathroom, wash my face. For the first, and this is where I guess I differ from you, I will stay in my sweatpants. Okay. I will go. Because again, I don't know who I am in this quarantine. I feel like this quarantine feels like the last 2 weeks in between Christmas and Thanksgiving. Like no rules.
Just like eat whatever you can.
Yeah, I heard that the corona calories don't count is what I heard. So
that makes sense. Yeah.
There's science. So like I'll get on there, I'll jump on there, you know, answer all the emails I can. And then like as I get ready for the day, I'm like, okay, I need to, you know, I'll get dressed and, you know, but I feel like because I'm taking too long, I know I should be getting dressed and ready for the day. So,
yeah. Well, I've heard people advise that you get, you know, dressed and stuff and kind of take care of yourself, you know, hygiene, all that stuff, before you kind of step into your workspace.
Right.
And I think, you know, that looks different for everybody. Like, honestly, I'm not like 100% that. Like,
yeah, you're not like jumping into a suit.
Yeah. Not at all. No. And funny story, the other day I had a group call with some people from work, and it came up like in the middle of the call, like everyone else on this call was wearing sweatpants, and I was like the only one who was paranoid enough about going into work that I like actually put real pants on. And they're like, oh yeah, I got like sweatpants on, I got shorts on. So like a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with that, guys.
Right,
like,
right.
Do whatever you got to do. But I think the point is to try to make a mental like, transition from I'm at home to I'm at work. And that leads into, you know, just limiting distractions as much as possible.
Yeah, it's been kind of cool to have that ritual of waking up, getting coffee, checking the emails, then making breakfast and doing all this stuff. I think it's nice. I think the biggest thing for like shock is going to be when I have to come back to work.
Oh, I know.
I show up in my pajamas. I'm like, wait, what? You know, like, oh,
I forgot to get dressed.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. So definitely, I can see that helping. What's another thing that you're thinking?
Well, So like we started to talk about like limiting distractions.
Yes.
And I think this one, I want to get your take. Mm-hmm. I think it's harder probably for you in a sense because maybe there's more distractions in your house. You got, you know, you got the baby, you got Avery who's, you know, a toddler. What do you say about trying to limit those distractions? How do you kind of get around that stuff?
Yeah, I think, you know, my wife's amazing with taking care of the two kids. So she's figured out a way to really keep them, you know, and my, you know, my office, quote unquote, is in the living room. The TV's also there. Her playroom's also, you know, kind of half there. So it's definitely one of those things where you have to lean on somebody that really understands whoever you live with. If you're by yourself, then you have to really set up those boundaries. And make sure that, you know, okay, like this is playtime for them and then you go and work or, you know, make sure that they have, you know, their lunch and whatever. So like, I guess the little things too is like for my lunch break, I do hang out with them and really, but like from, you know, 8:30 to lunch, I mean, I've got my headphones in, so that helps. And, you know, I'll occasionally try to not go on the internet and like, okay, let's just look up sports because I miss sports. But I think that one of my things is just like, I've got my headphones in. I figure if I work hard for these 4 hours, then the next 4 hours I can just, you know, tone down a little bit, keep, you know, keep kind of a balance there. But yeah, I think having music in my ears, having the Graceful Grizzly podcast in my ears, that all works.
All day, every day. That's all I listen to.
Oh my gosh. I hope not. I hope you're not listening to this all day, every day. But yeah, no, it's definitely nice to have, something that kind of cancels, because I need to have music and I need to have either a podcast or something, you know, going on while I work. Because if not, I'm just going to go off the rails. Yeah. I can't handle silence very well for some reason.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I think that that's legit. Like, I usually will have some sort of ambient type of music going on.
Yeah.
I think everybody, you just got to figure out what helps you focus.
Right.
And just being aware of the distractions that could be there, like TV. You know, if you find yourself looking up at the TV all day long because you have it playing your favorite shows, like maybe try to like not have it play your favorite shows while you work.
Yeah, and face away from the TV.
Yeah, you know, like, do what you gotta do.
Yeah, put it against the wall, you know, throw your TV out the window.
Yeah, bring it over to our house and just to kind of drop it on our porch. Yeah,
you know, like social distancing. You know, make sure you wipe it down.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, guys, like I think that it's a tough time. It's an unprecedented. You know, people keep saying like we've never been through something like this, and we really haven't. You know, one of the key things too is like keeping up with your, you know, with your rituals and your things that you do, you know, keeping up with your faith, keeping up with the things that you find important in your life, like continue to do those things. You know, for me, it's like working out. Like I, now my workout has switched from like, you know, after lunchtime, I'll take half an hour out of my day to like, you know, do some push-ups, do some squats, do some stuff. Those are all things that kind of like anchor me down to make sure that I get through the day without, you know. So those are all things that I kind of, and like, I like sleeping in till eight, you know, but like, I also know that I really should like try to get up a little earlier, get, you know, get certain stuff in, you know, so just keep those things that you, that are anchors in your life, continue to have those things, because those are the things that when we start back up and when America opens up again, you know, you're going to have those things again and you're going to be like, man, I'm lost now. Like I'm wearing pajama pants and eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch at my job and I have no idea what to do, you know?
Yeah. I think it's easy to get off track during times that are just different. You know, if you have any sort of schedule in your life, when it's like the holiday thing you said, you know, during the holidays, your schedule just flies out the window. Yep. Right. And your eating goes down the tubes and you're not exercising, and so, yeah, I would, you know, I think our encouragement for everybody, too, is just to keep those things consistent that need to be consistent.
Yep.
Try to keep some, you know, habits in place that are good and stuff like that. But
yeah,
but so. But all at the same time, I think we all are adapting. We're all getting creative with our time.
Yeah.
You know, you have to maybe think of new things to do, new hobbies to keep you busy. And that can be kind of rewarding. So be creative at the same time and find new stuff.
Yeah, we're you know, we're trying recipes in the cookbook. We're cooking a lot more. I'm making steak. I'm making pasta. I'm making all this stuff. Definitely find more, you know, more things that you say you didn't have time for and do them. And if you're married, find something you can do with your spouse that is different, you know, and that would be not the necessary norm for you guys, but try it out, you know, do it. Play a weird, I think we found a mobile app that has like trivia questions. So we're doing that. It's kind of helping our team thing. And, you know, my wife is hyper competitive. So she's like beating me every time. I'm just like, all right, well, you know, find things that you now have the time for, because a lot of people are taking this as like a, oh man, like I'm sick of being at home. And take this as a giant reset button that you're able to focus on the important things. Because that's really what this is, because, you know, who knows how long it's going to last, but optimism and hope say, you know, hopefully within the month we'll start to see things normalize, hopefully. And if it does, man, you know, you're going to remember the time that you were stuck in your house.
Yeah. I think we're just trying to find the positives that we can, you know, and
yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, even if you feel like, well, you know, hopefully in a couple weeks or in a couple, I mean, my big thing too is, you know, stay on the course for things that, you know, you can do different and maybe get rid of some of the stuff that you took so much time doing back in the day.
Yeah, for
sure. You know, like, oh, I used to do this so much and now I can't. Well, maybe you can't because you shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, man. Surviving from home.
Yeah.
That's how we are.
We're all trying to do it right now.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, we definitely don't take the situation lightly, but I also do think Mauricio and I are, you know, we try to stay optimistic. Mm-hmm. We try to stay positive. We definitely want you guys to know that there is still positivity. It's easy to get wrapped up in a lot of negative.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, yeah, you know, shout us out on Instagram. Come by, mm-hmm. you know, hang out with us there.
Hang out. We'll do some more lives. We'll do some more stuff. You know, and honestly, just really, you know, we're going to get through this. Man, I can't believe that we are already at the end. Like, what the heck? This flew by. This really did.
It always does, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, man, guys, thank you for hanging with us. Thank you to Patreon supporters. You guys are the real heroes. You're the real MVPs.
Yep.
Check our website. Check on the bottom. You've got your first year badge down there. Your name is etched.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, if you want to put a picture, if you want to like essentially put a profile picture of yourself on our website, on the homepage, because we have your names there.
Yes.
Send us a picture.
Ooh,
either
I like
DM
that.
On Instagram or something. Obviously, keep it appropriate. Nothing weird. If it's weird, we're not going to put it up. But no, send us a picture of yourself. We can throw you up there. We basically, the big thing here is we just want to treat you guys like the awesome people you are for supporting our podcast. You know, you've contributed actual time to listen. You've contributed actual dollars to support us, you know, on our Patreon and stuff. So we want to shout you guys out. You guys are the, like Mauricio said, you're the guys are the MVPs of this podcast.
Yeah, you're the stockholders. You guys, we will etch your names in eternity.
In our skin. We're getting tattoos.
No. Tyler. Listen, guys, you guys get Tyler off the rails and now we're getting tattoos. I didn't agree to this, but this is what we're doing.
We're doing it.
Yeah, guys. So, yeah, we appreciate you. If you've listened to our entire podcast, we also want to bring up our Patreon. Guys, jump on there. Give us a dollar. Give us $2. And we will continue to do this podcast. It's really supporter driven, supporter everything. So we want you guys to be part of it. You get special access to our close friends list on Instagram. That way you get to see memes before they come out. You get to put your input into the podcast and you're able to just be close friends with us, which is, I mean, that's pretty good.
That's a reward in itself.
That's what I'm saying. and you'll also get, you know, obviously DMs and hey, encouraging comments. So shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We love you so much.
Yeah, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Hopefully you'll come back episode 13.
What?
Next time. Yeah.
Episode 12.
Wait.
Done.
Should we skip 13? Because isn't that kind of an unlucky number?
Nah, we got it.
All right. Well, if we don't survive next next podcast, you'll know why.
We'll do it on a Friday.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yeah, we love you guys. We'll see you later.
Bye.